God, thank you for today. God, thanks for the opportunity to be together. I pray over these next couple minutes, God, that your word would come alive. God, that you'd speak to us, that you'd show us the truth of who you are. God, I thank you for a church that can laugh, can have fun. God, can experience the true meaning of why we celebrate. God, that we can be around people that like to have a good time, but also like to be real and do life together. God, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the men and women that make up Life Community Church. And God, I just pray that you give us ears to hear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can go there. Verse 8 will be on the screen as well. If you have a YouVersion app, it will be in that app as well. Read a couple verses, 8 through 12 last week, but I'm going to read them again. So we'll start in verse 8, and we'll read. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everybody what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. And it was just as the angel had told them. When you read Luke 2, or you read Matthew 1, and you see the characters of the story of Jesus' birth, and to me, the reason we celebrate. I will not be a guy that tells you not to have traditions. I'll not be a guy that says don't put up lights and trees and all that fun stuff. Have fun. We personally, I don't know if there's kids in here, but oh, yeah, I don't want to be that guy, but there was a certain guy that brought presents, and so we told our kids, like, I am that guy, and we told them that because I was tired of some other guy getting the credit for their Christmas presents. Just me personally. There's a real one out there, but he decided not to come to our house, and so tradition was, you know, you tell them about Santa, but I was just tired of them going, "Thanks, Santa, for the present," and I'm like, Santa didn't do any of that. It was me, you know, so you have your traditions, you have the things that you do. I think those are great, but if we forget why we celebrate Christmas, if we forget why we do what we do, we're missing the point. And I understand, your Christmas, it could be 2017, could have been the most crazy, hectic, confusing year, and now you lump all of that into the Christmas season, and right now you're stressed, it's hectic, you're trying to keep up with everybody around you, you're stressed out by the toys and the clothes and all of that, and you bring all of that to the table. And then we read Luke 2 and we go, man, what is this really about? See, I think there's something amazing that you and I can miss if we don't read a little closer to the story. As we've talked about Mary and Joseph, as we've talked about Caesar Augustus, and as we talk about shepherds. Because shepherds, when you read the story, they are the lowlifes, they are the outcasts, they are the stinky guys. If you go on this trip to the Native Reservation, you'll meet a guy named Jackie Holgate. And Jackie Holgate is a personal friend of mine. He's Native American. He's been raised in the mountains of Arizona and Utah, and he is a shepherd. He lived out in the fields. He knows what it is to be a shepherd. He can tell you story. He reads Psalms 23 a little different than you and I do because he gets it. He understands what it looks like. So when the Bible says that the plan for the whole earth, the reason you and I still, December 10th, 2017, gather around with people and we celebrate Jesus and we come together, this is the reason we celebrate. And God's plan to tell shepherds the announcement of what it is that his plan to save the world. And he doesn't go to the mayor of Bethlehem. He doesn't go to the king of kings at the time, Herod. He doesn't go to those guys. He goes to these guys who the Bible says is staying in the fields. That means they're not clocking out. That means they're living with sheep. The dumbest animal ever created. Sheep. And yet the Bible says that we are sheep. So why? Why to the outcast? Why to the low? Because that's why he came. Because if we read Luke 2, we soon realize that all of us in this room, we're all an outcast. We've all felt the pain and the sin of life. We felt the pain that we've caused by sin. We felt the sin of others towards us. We've all been affected. And we all know what it feels like to men to not fit in. And so his announcement comes to men who do not fit in. These men had to go to Bethlehem. They had to become religiously clean, which was impossible, a hard process. So when they went into a town, by their culture standards, they had to go in and they were unclean, meaning nobody talked to them. Nobody can touch them, because if they touched them, they were unclean. And so he's telling them to go to Bethlehem, to a place where they have to go and register and they have to be around other people. You guys, these are the most different outcast low lives there ever has been. And yet this is who the announcement is made to, because you and I can relate, because we've been around. If you're a parent in this room and you're raising teenagers, you know what it's like to be an outcast. They start talking, you're like, what in the world are you saying? The other night, we're at a concert, and me and Kelly get a text, and the text says, "Dad, can I skirt your whip?" "Can I what?" "Dad, can I skirt your whip?" And my mind goes to places that no mind should go. And last night we were a dinner group and I said the phrase, and Jay's like, "Oh, he wanted to take your car." And I was like, "Say what? Him skirting my whip is to borrow my car? What the heck is happening? All of a sudden, I think my son is dressing in a skirt. And I'm trying to be like culturally relevant." And I said, "Well, what are you going to do with the nene?" But then he was like, "What?" Now we're having a conversation that I'm like, "I don't even know what's happening, but you're skirting my whip. It don't sound right. I don't fit in. I'm trying to relate, and it just doesn't work." I'm like, "My car is my whip, and you taking it as skirt? Like, what is happening?" And sick is now good, and bad is now good, and all these other things that you say that I just do not understand, knowing you're trying to get one by me. You're saying things that you're laughing with your buddies. "Yeah, I told my dad's skirting his whip. You should have seen his face." I'm like, I'm getting talked about. I know what it's like to be an outcast now. I'm no longer the cool dad, as if I ever was. By the time my daughters are in high school, I don't even know what's going to be said. Hopefully they're still skirting my whip. I can't even. So some of you remember this in this room. Paul, you remember this. Back in the day when I was youth pastoring at Destiny, I would go up to speak, and I didn't have an iPad. I would have notes that would be open, and there's certain people on our team that would go up and write a word on my notes. And as they would write that word, I would go up and speak. And as I'm looking at my notes, I would have to look at that word and I would have to incorporate it in my message. So my word today was skirt your whip. I got it. I can't even tell you some of the words that I put down, that were put down. I can't, I was going to tell one of them, but 10:30, you ain't ready for it. No, you're not. Anyway, you're going to lose so much respect for that other church that I was at. Not me, of course. Anyway. So, three things you've never heard in church before. Skirt the whip. All right. Here's a Bible verse that Ephesians 2, 4 through 6 that I need you to hear today. Because if you're a person that feels like you don't fit in, this includes you. It says, but God's mercy is so abundant and his love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. It is by God's grace that you have been saved. In our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. I think you and I need to understand that God's plan for us, despite us and despite where we've been, is for us. Like, you need to hear by this announcement to shepherds that God is for you. Despite where you've been, despite what you've done, people may not be, but God is. And this is the beauty, this is the excitement that God announced it to shepherds versus the religious elites, versus the political elites, versus the men and women that you and I might think, the rich, the exclusive. But God didn't do that because that wasn't his plan. His plan was, I want to relate with all of culture. Because he said, I brought joy to all the people. And Jesus, by coming to the lowest, is letting us know that you may be at rock bottom, but you can move up. This is the hope. This is why we can sing. This is why people get excited when you sing some of the old songs about all my hope is in Jesus. Why? Because this is why we can celebrate. And again, it's not downplaying all the fun and all the great traditions, but if we miss this and we miss the announcement that has stood for over 2,000 years, mind you, then we miss it all. Then we miss it all. Three things that we can learn from the shepherds. First and foremost, they listened. You and I have to listen. I'm not downplaying the intelligence in this room because every single person in this room, we know right and wrong. We know what is right and wrong. We know what we should do. We know what it is that we, how we should treat people. We know what is right and wrong. Our problem is we have a listening problem. All of us, we're all included. He said in the first six verses that I read, 8 through 14, he's telling them things and they're listening. It didn't say and they interjected. It said they listened. And the tendency that you and I have in listening is don't drift away. How do I drift away? This is what Hebrews tells us. Hebrews says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. It's super easy for you and I to drift away, to allow our mind to go to places that our mind should never go to. Picture that anchor. Picture that boat. As I said earlier, as the storm starts coming, what happens if the boat is not anchored to the ground or to the shore or to the dock? If it's not anchored properly, it does what? It drifts away. If you and I are not listening and hearing how our lives should be anchored, then we're missing the point and we're drifting away. In our culture, it's busyness. You and I drift away because we're busy people. And it's good busy. So I'm not in here knocking sports. I'll never do that. I'm not here knocking all the things you're involved in. I won't do that. It's good things that you're busy at. So how do I prioritize? How do I get my life not busy? Well, if you're adding something and you're not subtracting something, then I'm telling you right now, at some point, you're going to drift away. If these men did not listen that day and they just said, oh, what we heard was awesome. If they walked in, they said, holy smokes, that was awesome. And they just did all of those things and they just listened and did nothing else. Then they missed the point. And that's what they did. They listened, but then they acted. It's not enough for you to come and for you to hear what the Bible is saying. It's not enough for you to hear and to know what it is that you should be doing if you don't ever act upon it. See, I think we've become a society where we have good mottos. We are the motto society. We wear it on our shirts. We put it on our walls. We put it on Instagram. We have good mottos. Oh man, look at the mottos that we have. I put it real bold on my shirt. Build up or shut up. Yeah? I was made for more. We have great mottos and they're good things. They're great things. But if I'm not living that out, then what really have I done? If the shepherds just heard and they just go, man, that was really cool. High fives, everybody. How great was that? We were freaked out by the angel's announcement. If they don't act, you and I aren't here. Well, they probably could have just went to somebody else. It wouldn't have meant the same. It was intentional to shepherds because you and I at some point are going to feel like outcasts and we relate to the shepherds. We relate because that's us. If we just listen but don't act, we're missing the point. Why don't we act? I think that becomes the question. Why don't I act? Like, think about the smallest things in your life. Teenagers, why don't you obey your parents? Oh, parents, I did not ask for your response there. Why don't we act? I think for a couple reasons. We're afraid what others are going to say about us. I don't act because I'm so concerned what people think of me. I don't act because I get sidetracked real easy. I get busy. I get thinking about this over there. I get sidetracked because I don't like what God said. I get sidetracked because I don't like that he says to forgive. I don't like that he says to have compassion. I don't like that he says to worship. I don't like that he says to give. I don't like that he asked me to do these things. And so I don't act. If you don't like what he's saying, then you're just listening. And all it's come for you is a good motto with a lot of likes and a lot of shares, but it's not what James said. James said, don't deceive yourself, which is what I think you and I a lot of times do. I know I do. I deceive myself. And this is what James says. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Do what it says. And then he gives this analogy. What does deceive mean? It means to be misled, to defraud, or being dishonest with yourself. Here's what I found. I found it's easier to look out than it is to look in. I found it easier to look at you and to tell you what you're doing wrong than to look at myself and to tell myself what I'm doing wrong. That's how I'm deceiving myself. Or I've deceived myself by saying, that guy's a really bad guy. At least I'm not that bad. What am I doing? I'm deceiving myself. And I'm missing out. If I opened up today and said, how many in this room want to be blessed? How many in this room want joy? How many in this room want the best plans that God has for you? Every single person, except for the rebellious, stubborn teenager, every single rest of you are going, that's me. I want that. Absolutely. I want to be blessed. You've bought the books. You're trying to figure out how to live the blessed life. You're trying to figure out how to live the best life now. We do. We try to figure that out. Here's what Jesus is saying. Listen and act. And I guarantee you, you'll have joy. Listening and acting, hearing and obeying will always bring you joy. I can't go listening and joy, then acting. I can't go joy, listening. God, just give me a dose of joy and I'll listen. It's not how it works. Listened first. They acted. They looked at each other and said, "Did you, what? Let's go." And it says they came back stubborn, quiet. It said they came back glorifying and praising God as they did what? Went back to life. Listen, you and I think that our obedience should bring about a complete different life change. And God says, what if your obedience is bringing about your same lifestyle? I'm just asking you to bring joy into it. See, you guys, we read this story and we go, man, the shepherds should have went on tour telling everybody and anybody. They should have been the wise men. These guys were actually at the manger scene, guys. Anyway, they should have done all these things. Yet it says they went back to the flock. It went back to the job. They went back to life as normal. Now they brought joy into it. You and I, we have to understand that sometimes life circumstances, sometimes the way life works is that you go back to the job that you regretted. Now you're going to see that job a little different. Why? Because you listen and you obey. And instead of going into the job and thinking it's horrible and it's worse and you're complaining, now you're bringing joy into it. And now you're viewing your job differently. Yeah? See, you and I, we want the joy, and God says, I like the obedience. We're missing it. What does it say? It says, Nehemiah 8:10 says this, go enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some of those who have never nothing prepared. And this day is holy to our Lord. And don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. See, we quote that scripture a lot. The joy of the Lord, you guys, it's our strength. Woo, the joy of the Lord's our strength, everybody. Woo, praise God, joy of the Lord. And you're like, but I don't feel joy. Do you hear what he said right before that? Don't grieve. Some of you, you're like, do you want me to tell you the kind of year I had? It was the worst year. Do you know what statistics say for depression? That during Christmas, this is the most heightened, like men and women, there's the most heightened of suicide, of depression is right now. Like this is the season for so many people. Why? Because that's the world we live in. The world we live in is we don't know how to find joy. And so we search for it in all the other places. And there's depression and there's anxiety. People feel alone. People feel they've struggled all year long. They have disagreements. They have marriage problems. They have no money in the bank. They have no presents for their kids. And all of a sudden, we're saying the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like it's a model that everybody gets. Yet God's saying, listen, when you understand where the joy comes from, you'll never mistake it for happiness again. When you understand what joy, despite your circumstances, really is, then you'll never mistake it for something superficial again. Because joy of the Lord is, despite what's happening to me, I still find joy in who I am and who my identity is and who I am in Christ, and that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I still find joy there despite what is happening. That means it doesn't matter if I can worship or not. I can worship because of who God is despite my circumstances. That's the joy of the Lord. Happiness will change every single day based on what someone says to you. Or they brought you the wrong coffee, you lost your happiness. That has nothing to do with it. Don't mess with people and their coffee. Yeah, exactly. We're missing joy because we're skipping the steps that bring joy. The shepherds never forgot. Their lives were forever changed. And it says they told anybody and everybody. Why? Because nobody could take away from them what they saw. Nobody could say, that didn't really happen. See, this takes me to John 4. Jesus is talking to this woman at the well. It says the disciples came up and the disciples were like, who are you talking to? A woman? A Samaritan? And it says, at that moment, the disciples walked up that she ran away. And when she ran away, she went into her town and she told anybody and everybody about what Jesus had done. And the Bible says that every single person that she contacted came to find Jesus. And it says in John 4, that says, they said, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Your job in listening and acting and then the joy of the Lord coming is not for you to contain that joy, but it's for you to tell anybody and everybody exactly what you have experienced. And nobody can take that away from you. Every single person that encountered Christ, they went away glorifying and praising God, celebrating what he had done. And what did he do for the woman? He told her everything that she had ever done. What had she done? Oh, she was married 5 times, and the guy she was living with wasn't even... She was the town whore. And he told her what she was, and she was blown away by that truth. And she says, come meet a man who will accept you, who will welcome you despite you. He didn't come to her and say, hey, I love you, you're awesome, don't worry about the past. It's going to be okay. He told her who she was. Who she was. How would you? Jesus comes to you and be like, man, you are an adulterer. Man, you're cheating the government out in taxes. You show up late. You're a horrible employee. And you go away happy? Man, come meet a man. He told me everything. This guy's awesome. What did he tell her? He told her who she was, and yet he still loved her there. He didn't send her off. He didn't say, don't ever come back to see me. He welcomed her. He said, despite your past, I still am going to die for you. This is the message to the shepherds, you guys. That despite your circumstance, despite where you've been, this is the reason I came. And if we miss that, you guys, if we miss the reason he came, we're missing a very big point of the Christmas story. There's a lot to it, but this is it in a nutshell. Jesus came so that you and I might have a life, and that's why he came, period, end of story. And then in a time of an announcement where you and I would go, let's go big or go home, man, let's go right to Rome. Let's tell them all. He said, no, no, no. I found a couple guys out in the field. Smelly, dirty, lowlifes, outcasts. I'm going to show up there. And every single one of us in this room, every single person at 9 a.m. should go, man, that's me. I'm the shepherd. I'm the shepherd. That's me. Wow. And this is my prayer. This is my prayer for us as a community, as a church, as fathers and mothers in this room, for your kids, that they see that Christmas is way more than what our culture says it is. It's about a plan to save your family. It's about a plan to deliver the family curses that a lot of us are involved in. It's a plan to set you free, and to not just set you free, but to change the course of history through your bloodline. And for people in this room that your bloodline is a little jacked up, your family tree is a little weird, sometimes it doesn't branch out, you're from Arkansas. Anyway, I'm just kidding, Josh. I'm just kidding. I would never make fun of the guy wearing a women's Christmas sweater. Come on. You can stand up. Come on, baby. That's all right. Catherine gets it afterwards. Your family tree is all crazy. Guess what you get to do? You get to be a part of something that radically changes the way your family was raised. Your family tree now goes this way, and it's now hope, it's now love, it's now compassion, and a curse has been broken. That's why Jesus came. That's the beauty of Luke 2, is that you and I can find hope there. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? I have no doubt in my mind that this day, today, there have been people that have walked in that don't feel like they fit in. I think you could look around and go, man, I just don't feel like I'm a part of something. And it'd be real easy. It'd be real easy to dismiss it. It'd be real easy to go, to look at the outside of someone and go, yeah, maybe they don't. But I'm thankful that this season we can see God's plan is so different than ours. So different. And while other people may not want to include you, God does. And I have no doubt in my mind, you're going to be with family over the next couple weeks, and some of them are crazy. That's the most amens I got today. As I heard Friday night, if they're not crazy, then maybe you're the crazy one. Crazy, but God says, I got a plan, and you're included. And as you read Luke 2, that's what you're going to see. You're going to see that God includes you. Now you need to listen. Some of you need to leave here and you need to act. You need to act on it's a conversation. It's an apology. It's a note. It's a text message, it's a phone call, it's an add a friend back, it's a drive to a certain person, it's a conversation that maybe you've been avoiding. That's the acting that you need to do today, because this is what God is about. Love, reconciliation, restoration, forgiveness, and if that's you, you got to act on that today. You got to act on that. You know. And listen. You will experience joy that you've never thought was even possible when you obey. Man, I wish you would just take my word for it. But I recognize some of you, you need more than that. And so my prayer today is that God would overwhelm you. That's my prayer. God would overwhelm you with His love today. And that the people that you come in contact with, you will see God in what they say and what they do. That is my prayer. Let's pray. Jesus, God, I know this has become a saying, but You are the reason we celebrate. Jesus is Christmas. And without You, God, there's nothing to celebrate. You are our hope. You are our transformation. You are our strength. You are the source. And so, God, we look to you today and we say, God, we need your help. We need you. I pray that you would open our eyes, that our hearts would be open. Because, God, that's what you care about. If Luke 2 tells us anything, is that you don't care about the outside. You care about our heart. You care about transforming us from the inside out. And God, that is where our confident hope comes from. That nobody in this room is too far gone, too far away for that love. So God, I pray that you would overwhelm us today in Jesus' name. Can we sing the song one more time?
I've been healed by the Savior. I feel fire from above. I've been down to the river. Yeah. I ain't the same, the prodigal return.